As you probably gathered, our message today is on Ezekiel chapter 37. And instead of reading the scripture this morning, we're going to show it in a video. We found a really neat video that gives the scripture and it gives it life in more ways than one.
The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the voice of the Lord. I will make breath into you and you will come to life.' Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, and say to it, 'Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army.
Wow. Powerful, wasn't it? I'm going to have a pop quiz this morning. I want to test you to see how many TV crime shows that you can remember. Anybody think of any of those TV crime shows currently on TV? What is it? Bones? Well, you're way ahead of me. That was the one at the bottom of the list. That's where I was going. Thank you. Thank you. Law and Order. I'm a big Law and Order fan. SVU and CI. NCSI is another one. New York. Now they got New York, Miami, and LA. Pat and I really like Blue Bloods on Friday night. Tom Selleck. I think she likes to watch Tom Selleck. That's why she watches it. Criminal Minds. Numbers. The Mentalist. Cops. Person of Interest, and of course, Bones, which brings me to today's message. It is one of the top shows on Fox Channel, but it is different than most of the other forensic and crime shows in that it emphasizes the use of forensic anthropology and archaeology to solve the crimes. The main character is Dr. Temperance Bones. She's not only attractive, but she's also intelligent. In this series, she tries to use skeletal remains to piece together the crime, whodunit. And, for example, in one episode, she realized that a half a rib cage determined that the victim was mauled by a tiger, and a burned skeleton found was related to a terrorist attack. But some bones might even stump someone as sharp as Dr. Bones Brennan. Imagine this as an opening scene for the next episode of Bones. Dr. Bones finds herself in a ravine outside the city of Los Angeles, a ravine full of human bones laying all over the ground. Scads of human skeletons, all mixed together, piled upon another, parched and bleached by the sun. She's stumped because there's no obvious reason for these human skeletons, these human bones, for being there. How did they get there? What caused all of this? And then suddenly, all around her feet, the bones start rattling. The bones start shaking and moving and starting to come together just as you saw them on the video. They begin to connect to one another and they start forming skeletons like old Slim over here. And all Dr. Bones can say is, I don't know what this means. Which, by the way, is one of her trademark statements in the show. I suppose we would be just as confused and maybe even a little creeped out ourselves if that had happened to us. Sounds like something from the Sci-Fi Channel, doesn't it? It's weird. But yet this is exactly the vision that God gave the prophet Ezekiel in today's text that we just heard read. And we could say the same thing as Dr. Bones. We don't know what this means for the people of Israel or for us today. Well, as with any interpretation of Scripture, context is everything. At the time of Ezekiel's prophecy, the people of Israel were far from Palestine, the promised land, hundreds of miles away in Babylon, along with the prophet, by the way, who was the son of an Israelite priest. In roughly the year 600 BCE, the Babylonians destroyed Judah, you see, and kidnapped the brightest, only the brightest and the best minds from Israel and hauled them off to Babylon by the rivers of Chebar, the Bible says, including the prophet Ezekiel, by the way. But while they're in captivity, far from their homeland, in Babylon, God gives Ezekiel several visions, which you can read all about yourself in the book of Ezekiel, to reassure them that God had not left them, that God had not abandoned them, and that God would save them. Throughout the book of Ezekiel, God speaks to him through many bizarre, and I mean bizarre, visions. They really are. The opening chapter is about the wheel. Some of you remember from Sunday school, the wheel with all the heads and the eyes and all of that. It's really strange. And somehow Ezekiel is supernaturally transported all over the land to be shown these visions. Which brings us to today's text and the vision that God gave of the Valley of Dry Bones. The Valley of Dry Bones was really a metaphor for the current state of the nation of Israel. You see, the situation with Israel was very bad as it gets. And God was showing Ezekiel that very fact. It was one totally void of life. The nation of Israel ceased to exist. And God's telling Ezekiel that it is bad. Why? Why were things so bad? How did they get this way? Well, it's because Israel had forgotten God. Israel had been unfaithful to God like an unfaithful spouse. Israel had exchanged God for cheap imitations and had ignored God's call for justice and righteousness. So, as part of God's judgment against Israel, God allowed them to be conquered and overtaken and then kidnapped and taken into exile in Babylon. The nation of Israel is dead as these dry bones all around Ezekiel's feet. The once great nation, the great nation led by great kings like David and Solomon, was now like a graveyard. The nation that was given life through Moses on Mount Sinai is now dead as the dry bones in the valley. As I thought about this dry bone metaphor, I thought about my own personal times of spiritual dryness and maybe even deadness. Spiritual dryness, you see, is when you feel like your prayers just don't get past the ceiling. Spiritual dryness is when you don't hear God speaking to your heart. Spiritual dryness is when you don't want to read your Bible or don't want to do your daily devotions or you don't want to go to church or you don't want to stay closely connected to God for whatever reason. When I get like this, and yes, all pastors have these dry spells, these seasons of dryness in their ministries and in their lives, I feel hollow and empty, just like that chocolate bunny rabbit, which, by the way, I've not figured out who's given me yet. I found a chocolate bunny rabbit on my desk this week when I got back to work on Tuesday morning, and nobody wants to fess up as to who gave it. So I'm just gonna eat it. When we get like this, we're hollow like that chocolate rabbit. When God seems to be 1,000 miles away, or gone AWOL, as they say in the military. But then I realize it's not God who's moved an inch. God hasn't gone anywhere. It's me. I'm the one who's drifted away and allowed my spirit to become dry and parched and away from the things that I know are designed to keep me closely connected to God, like prayer, like study of Scripture, like worship and celebrating the sacraments and being with God's people. But then I realize that although I might feel spiritually dead, it's actually a sign of life. Let me explain. You see, sometimes we have to go through valleys. Valleys of dry, dead bones sometimes to experience God's blessings. Sometimes we have to experience pain and many dark nights of the soul in order to realize God is there, that God is with us, and God loves us. I love the song by Laura Story called Blessing. I think we did it a few weeks ago here at Come Alive Time. The chorus goes something like this. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing, talking to God that is, what if your healing comes through tears? What if it takes 1,000 sleepless nights to know that you're near? And what if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? And sometimes we have to experience the valley of dry bones ourselves before we can see the life that God has in store for us. Because isn't that what Easter is all about? You can't have Easter Sunday until you have Good Friday. And so God asks Ezekiel in our text today, can these bones live, mortal? Now, Ezekiel is no dummy. He's the son of a priest. He's kind of sharp. He knows what God is asking here. And what is his response? Oh, Lord, you know, you know, Lord. You see, Ezekiel defers to the divine wisdom of God as to whether these bones can live or not. If those dry bones could ever live, it would have to be through the power of God and the word of God that was given to Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones. It would have to come from God. Ezekiel knew that. And in delivering that prophetic word to Israel, Ezekiel was offering Israel the promise of new life, giving the exiles far away from home, despondent and dejected and disillusioned, visions of hope, visions of restoration, visions of renewal, revival, and yes, even resurrection. That was the message that God was sending through Ezekiel to the nation of Israel. You will live again. And eventually they would return to their homeland. The land promised to them long ago to Abraham and with God's blessing. Now the calendar tells us that Easter is only 3 weeks away. It's right around the corner, folks. But today's text asks us an important question here in the middle, the latter part of Lent. Can life come into death? Can life come into death? Ezekiel was commanded by God to speak life into the dead bones. That is, to speak hope, to speak new life to the dead nation of Israel. That was his command, his job. You see, there's a connection between the valley of dry bones, the tomb of Jesus, and us here today. a connection to what happened to those bones, to Ezekiel and to the Israelites, and what God did for Jesus. And what God did for Jesus, He has also done for us. Today's message is a reminder that God is a God of grace, of unconditional, unmerited favor, love. God so loved the Israelites, His chosen people, so much that He overlooked the generations of unfaithfulness, the generations of betrayal. God forgave them because He loved them and their decaying spiritual life. It is out of God's great love and mercy that He gave them grace. Unconditional, undeserved, unearned love and favor and mercy. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God we love. That's the kind of God that I worship and you worship. Well, likewise, God didn't just forgive our sins in Christ's sacrificial atoning death on the cross. For you see, He also gave us new life. There was the forgiveness of sins, but there's also new life through Jesus' glorious resurrection at Easter. You see, for us Christians, gloom, despair, and hopelessness, even death, is not the end. Death doesn't have the final word, you see. Believers are given hope in every seemingly hopeless situation, which is never beyond God's reach, by the way. Ezekiel didn't just prophesy to the bones to have them reconnect and get back together. Them old bones were given new life too. God continues and says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath and say to the breath, come from the four winds and breathe upon these slain that they may live. It was one thing for the bones to come back together. It was one thing for Israel to be forgiven of its sins, but they could never be fully alive until what? Until the breath, the Spirit of God, came into them. In other words, the nation of Israel would be restored through the people by being given a new heart. In the previous chapter, chapter 36, verse 26, God says to Israel, a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. It was God's Spirit that carried Ezekiel to the valley in the first place, and it was God's Spirit that caused new life to come into those dry bones. That Spirit came from the four winds and put breath into them. You see, God saved Israel by bringing them out of the deadness of exile, their valley of dry bones, if you will. But not only that, He breathed new life into them and brought them at last into the promised land again to be the people of God again. So the question for us today is this. What are the valley of dry bones among us today? Where are they? What boneyards in our lives, in our communities, in our world need to be spoken life into? Those of you in Bible study will recall perhaps this reading in Dr. Callis' book, which this series is based on, Easter from the Backside. Dr. Callis puts it this way, quote, it may be a rundown life or a rundown neighborhood. It may be a rusty family or a rusty city. It may be an economy gone broke or a world committed to self-destruction. The valley of dry bones has many faces. End of quote. Folks, we've been called to be the Ezekiels of the world. We as Easter people have been given God's word. We have been given God's Spirit at our baptism. And we are committed to speaking life to death, to pray to God about the situations that we find ourselves in or we find other people in, be them in our own families or in our churches or in our world, to speak new life into them, into some very difficult situations, to pray for those situations, to pray for people, to bring them through their valleys of the shadows of death. For you see, only God, this is what Ezekiel knew, only God could speak life into death. Only God sends forth His Spirit and works into the deadness and brokenness of lives. To prophesy to the breath of God is to pray. That's what God was telling Ezekiel. Pray for Israel. Prophesy to Israel. Preach to Israel the word. For you see, prayer is an act of faith for renewal and restoration. I opened this service message by talking about some cop shows, some crime shows on TV. But I wonder, why is there so many of these shows? Why are there so many cop shows, so much crime on TV these days for entertainment? What's the fascination with these cop shows? You ever think about that? Some people say it's because of humanity's fascination with violence and sex and destruction. That could be part of it. But maybe there's still something more God-designed in our spiritual DNA and why we like these shows. Could it be that we are a people that like to see justice done? Could it be that we like to see wrongs righted? Could it be that we like good to triumph over evil? To see that death does not have the final word. Ezekiel can indeed celebrate Easter with us, because Easter is really a promise from God. God's promise that through faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death does not have the final word. And that truth extends to all areas of our lives where death tries to squash hope, where death tries to squelch dreams, where death rises up in wars and poverty and prejudice and materialism and racism and sexism. These places are where we can claim Easter faith with the solid conviction that Christ has won the victory. And that being in Christ, with Christ, and through Christ, and in the power of God's Spirit, we as God's people join in that battle against death wherever it rears its ugly head. And we know that when we trust in Jesus, when we put our faith in Christ, the valley is never so dark, the night is never so long, and the bones are never so dead and dry. And we can believe in faith that the battle is won. Easter, you see, is God's victory. Let us indeed celebrate that victory every single day as Easter people. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the message of the dry bones. I pray now, Lord, that we all have a little better understanding that no matter what our valley of dry bones is, be it a broken marriage, be it a broken relationship, be it financial ruin, be it a physical illness, Lord, we know that through your word and through your Spirit, them bones can live. And Lord, we know where the victory comes from. It comes from you. For you are the God of the dry valley of bones, and you're the God of the empty tomb, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we have the victory. Amen.